Thank you, Richard, for trying to... I didn't realize it was going to be that difficult to find the songs on peace. But Richard was glad that I had a short title. So today we're going to be in John chapter 14. And what I would like for us to do, if we could, is to know that this is one chapter that you can go to at any time, any place, but especially when you're having a difficult time. For it's Jesus talking for the most part here, and he's actually going to give us some comforts that I think will produce this peace that I hope will be described today through Jesus' words, not mine. So let us begin, if we can, by reading the passage toward the end of the chapter, and that way we can start trying to understand what Jesus is talking about when he talks about peace. John chapter 14, starting with verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you may believe." Now, believe is a key word here today. "I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here." Now, if you just simply read that passage toward the end of chapter 14, you're probably saying in some of the parts, what in the world is he talking about? And how can I understand it? Well, I think we need to go back and look at the chapter, and I'll do it briefly. But we also need to see the setting. This is one of the final discourses that Jesus has with his disciples before the crucifixion, which is about to take place. Now, he's been going along with these disciples for a long, long time. And you'll notice throughout the walk that you'll see that the disciples had a hard time understanding what Jesus was teaching and what Jesus was talking about when it comes to his death and his resurrection and his purpose on earth. And so as a result, they're real confused even now, knowing that he's talking about his death. In fact, it's so confusing that now they've turned that confusion into fear. Now, we sometimes do that, too. I know we've had storms lately, and if somebody were to tell you, there's a tornado coming, but we'll be able to hide underneath the table downstairs, well, that kind of grips you that there might be something bad about to happen. And so they had no idea what was going to take place other than the fact that they were trembling and they were fearful. And it was also the fact that Jesus was saying, I'm going back to the Father. And so I want you to know, though, that I'm going to leave you my peace. Now, what in the world does that mean? And then what is he talking about when he says there's somebody coming, the ruler of the world is coming? What is that all about? And so the disciples are confused by that. And so, but let's go back to the first part of John 14. And again, I want you to see some of the comforts which will produce peace. And I think that's one of the things that we want to do today, is that we can look at the world today, and it's very unsettled, not only in our country, but in the entire world. And we can simply say lots of things are going on that are unsettling. But Jesus is going to give us something today, as he's going to give these disciples, that's going to settle them. Not fully settled until they receive Pentecost, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's where they're going to get their understanding. That's where they're going to get their belief. And so somebody asked the questions, well, you know, why in the world would the disciples not just go ahead and have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's kind of like Jesus said when he was performing the first miracle, it's not time yet. He hadn't been glorified yet. He hadn't gone and crucified his body to the point of where we now have forgiveness of sins. We now have a relationship with the Father again. That can't be done yet. He has not fulfilled his mission. So as a result, the disciples are going, okay, I guess I'm understanding what you're trying to say, but I really don't. And then, of course, there's the resurrection that was so important that had to be accomplished. Because there, as sin was dealt on the cross, we know that death was dealt with the resurrection. And so here are all the disciples trying to grasp all of this. But Jesus here comes with some comfort. He starts off by saying, and I love this because people that I talk with sometimes are really questioning whether Jesus even existed, Moses existed. All this stuff is kind of a myth. And so should we really believe it? Well, I would ask you today to take that step, which most of you have in this room, and that is believe. Now, you can believe in God, you can believe Christ, believe in Christ, but I want you to believe Christ today as we should believe God. And so if we're going to do that, then let's listen to what he says, because this is truth. So he starts off by saying, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, but also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. So here he's simply telling us and telling these disciples, I have a place that I'm going to prepare for you, and that place is heaven. So for all those naysayers out there who have no understanding, spiritual understanding, about does heaven or hell exist, Jesus, if we believe Jesus, he's telling us that there is a place of which he's preparing for us. As he's telling these disciples, he's also telling us. So heaven is real, and so therefore we can take comfort that we're not just here for today. We're going to have something for tomorrow, which is going to be wonderful. Yeah. And then he says in verse 6, this is beautiful. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Here he basically is saying, you know what? Here is a path for you to walk. Now, today, as well as forever, but here I'm going to give you a path to walk. A lot of people say, well, what is my purpose? I don't even know what God's all about. I don't know what Jesus is all about. Jesus is saying, here it is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me. But he also says, no one comes to the Father but through me. Now, that's very strict, is it not? The road's narrow. And that is, if you want to get to the Father, you've got to go through the Son. But here's a path for us. It's laid out for us if we'll just look at it and take it and use it. And then he goes down and starts talking about he and the Father and how that they're together. And in fact, I love this passage because of the fact that, you know, the Father and I are one. And so a lot of these people are skeptical and saying, well, I just think I could just see God. You're looking at him. And so he tells them constantly that you're looking at him. If you want to know God, you want to see God, I'm here. And so look at Jesus. But then in verse 12, he's saying, you know, I got to go back to the Father. That's the best for me. But it's also best for you because your work is going to continue. In fact, so much so that it's going to become more of an extraordinary, more of a supernatural work. And it's going to be abundant. And so that happens because I go back to the Father. And so he says, truly, truly, I say to you in verse 12, he who believes, that word again, believes in me, the works that I shall do, he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Isn't that wonderful? So therefore, I'm special because of the fact that I'm going to be able to continue what Jesus did on this earth, but even in a greater sense, now that Jesus is back with the Father. And then, of course, you got to have this in verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And that is, he will answer our prayers. So here we have heaven, and here we have the fact that we have a path for life, and here we have the fact that we're going to be able to continue our work and in greater abundance. And guess what? He's going to answer our prayers if we ask, and you shall receive. And then he gets to the point here, and that is how what makes it all work is the fact that he's going to give us a helper. after he leaves. And it says in verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." Sometimes the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. That's that peace we're talking about. "That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be," what?
"In you."
"In you." So that's a totally different dynamic than what's occurred before. You know, some people look back and say, well, God was for the people originally in Genesis and the Old Testament. Then God was with us, and then God will be in us. Well, that's where we are. God dwells within us if we believe in Jesus. And so then, of course, verse 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by the Father, and I will love him, and he will disclose myself to him." That's a beautiful love verse about keeping the commandments. That's throughout the entire Bible. And that's one of the problems with the old covenant, that people couldn't keep it. And if you go to Hebrews, you want to find out about the new covenant, which is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You'll see this is a beautiful passage in chapter 8 where it really talks about the new covenant and how that the people of old couldn't even keep the old covenant. And so now we have a brand new one. And then notice verse 26. He really dwells on this. I think it's important that he dwells on it because it helps us. And that is, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Here is that understanding. Here's that understanding that Jesus is talking about with the disciples. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." So here we have a beautiful passage of where he's basically saying that we are not going to be left alone. We're going to have heaven. We're going to have all the things and the comforts that we could possibly have. But all of this is going to be made possible by that real peace, which is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. If you go to Acts chapter 2, you'll see that on the day of Pentecost that they received the Spirit. And all of a sudden, all these people, Peter denied Christ, if you remember, Timothy was doubtful about Jesus and had all these misunderstandings through all this walk. And all of a sudden what happens? Bam! They become extraordinary people, bold people. Why? They now have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then what? Takes over that spirituality of which we lack without Christ. And so now all of a sudden we become different people. And but then I got to mention the negative here because it's important. It's part of the plan, part of the mission. And that is going back to verse 30, "And I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Rise, let us go from here." Who is he talking about? He's talking about Judas. Judas betrayed Christ. And we actually see poor Judas involved, but he was, again, it's part of the overall mission. But he's talking about Judas here and Satan inside of Judas. If you go back to Luke 22, you'll see that it says Satan entered Judas. And entered Judas, and then he went and spoke with the officials. The officials are already trying to figure out how to kill Jesus. And so here's old Judas, and he went, made a deal with them. And, of course, we remember what happened. But also know that it appears that Satan entered Judas twice. Because then if you go to this particular setting here where they are at the Lord's Supper, you'll see that it says again, Satan enters Judas. And so here we have Jesus speaking about the fact that Satan is about to arrive through Judas. But I love what he says here, and that is, you know, Satan thought he was going to have victory. It's victory day for him to get Christ crucified. But it wasn't victory, was it? It was a victory over sin. And Satan loses. And so as a result, Jesus is basically saying that Satan's going to learn that I'm going to do exactly what I came here to do. And you didn't do anything about it. And so we see here victory over Satan. If you go to chapter 15, which we don't have time to do, you'll see that it carries on. And it talks about the vine and it talks about the fruit. And, of course, if you look at the Holy Spirit and you see the fruit of the Spirit, you'll see that one of those is peace, joy, comfort, all this. But here you see this vine. How does that vine work? Well, Jesus is the vine. We are, what, the branches. And in between all that, that sap in between, that's the Holy Spirit, which produces that fruit. So you see, it's just a wonderful, wonderful relationship that we get through the connection that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at this particular passage, you can't help but feel comfort. You can't help but feel good about who you are spiritually. Now, if you take all that away, then what you have here is an unsettled world, and you're getting to going, I don't know what I'm going to do about all that. Although, realistically, as Jesus did at the particular time he's here with those disciples, he had all this mess around him, didn't he? People trying to kill him, all the unrest. But he dealt with it. He dealt with it by focusing on God, his Father, and what his purpose was. And so that's where we are, I think, is it not? And so when we get into these troubled times, or we start reading the headlines, or we go see cable news or whatever, and we're sitting there going, oh, I'm so depressed, I don't even know what I can do about that. Well, forget that. Focus on Jesus and look at all the benefits and comforts we're going to have, and that we do know that we are a people of hope in unsettled times, and we do know that God's in the mode of what? Restoration. It's all going to be restored. It's all going to change. God has a plan. We just need to make sure we're part of that plan. Now, let me give you two practical examples, then I got to get out of here. I got to meet my family. And by the way, Cruz and Nerea, the reason why we're at Brentwood, they're part of that youth group now, and they're just having a blast. And so that's why we're there. But we do miss you. But going back to a practicality, when I was in college at UT, I was working at a grocery store. I was a junior. And I thought I was a pretty hot guy back then because I was a tennis athlete. I was going with all the football players and baseball players. And I, even though I was working at the store, I knew a lot of people coming in, a lot of football players. And we had just won the national championship. And so life was good. And I thought I was something then. So one evening, one of our workers, lower-type workers, didn't come to work. So this assistant manager, who nobody liked, came up to me. And he says, Hobby, and that's one reason why I didn't like him, he called me Hobby. He said, Hobby, Joey didn't make it this evening, so I need for you to mop the floors. And I sat there to myself, me, a junior at UT, a tennis pro, a person that just won a national championship, and he's going to ask me to mop the floors? So I almost quit. I had to go through my mind real quick. And so I decided I wasn't going to do that. And so as I was walking back steaming, I began to cool down a little bit, and I said, you know what? I was at that time going to the Bible chair at University Avenue. And so I started to think, I said, you know, I wonder how I could reverse this to where I don't quit, because here I'm supposed to be somebody. And then I happen to remember a verse in Scripture. In fact, let's turn to it, and I'll show you what I'm talking about, because I quoted it to myself back then. And it was so fun because of the fact that it totally reversed my whole thinking about what I should be doing and who I thought I was. And it's in chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So as I quote that to myself, I'm saying, you know what? Forget the associate manager. He's a jerk. What am I really here for? I'm really here to serve the Lord. That's what I'm doing. I'm serving the Lord. So I shouldn't be looking at myself as who I think I am. I should be looking at who I think I'm serving and who I believe in. And so all of a sudden, my whole attitude turned. I did the bucket and fixed it up and start, you know, it was like 5 aisles that you had to do. So I'm just, and if you remember at a store, so there's music playing. So I actually started listening to the music, and I'm just having a good time, just swabbing that old floor. And here comes the assistant manager. And he comes down the aisle, and he says, "What is your problem?" And I said, "I'm a working for the Lord." But isn't that interesting how all of a sudden your mentality, your changing, can change with your focus? And that's exactly what Christ is talking about here, is that I want you to love me, and I want to love you, and I want you to believe in what I'm saying, and that is you can have peace in times of turmoil. You can have peace in time of difficulty, because I have something for you, which is the Holy Spirit, and that's going to give you understanding about spiritual matters and about spiritual behavior. And, of course, we just saw this with him talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, there's another passage, and then we'll end, and that is if you want to look at a passage where Peter is in the boat, and Jesus had already gone away and was praying, talking to God, and you basically see that the winds are blowing, and all of a sudden they see Jesus walking on the water. And so what does Peter do? Gets out of the boat and looks at Christ, and Christ says, "Come on." And so he's walking on the water, and then what happens? Yeah, he all of a sudden feels the wind and all this, and then he sinks. And Jesus reaches down with his hand and grabs him. Took his focus off of Jesus during a time of unsettling. Well, you know, there's a very famous little verse in Psalm 37 where it says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand." Isn't that beautiful? And we must never, ever forget that we have the Helper, but the Helper allows us to have the Lord and have the Father. So think about that today as you look upon anything that's going on in your life, because God and Jesus are saying, "Come unto me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace, supernatural peace." Amen. Yeah. All righty. Then let's go ahead and, if we can, if you need anything today, prayer or whatever you may need, then come forward and we'll be glad to assist you any way we can. So let's stand if we can and sing.